there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Well, good evening, Real Life Ministries. Go ahead and have a seat. So I'm going to get us started, and I'm going to introduce Paul to you here in just a second. And we're going to talk about why international missions, and actually Paul's going to do the majority of the talking. What I want to do is set the stage for why we would even have this conversation. And what it's going to do is it's going to unify us. So those of us that are members here at Real Life, this is our church family. Those of you that aren't, just you could be, I just want you to listen. But we don't have a conversation about missions. We don't have a conversation about singing. We don't even have songs to sing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is the head of the church. It's his body, and we're his people. So it always starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oftentimes that's understood from an evangelistic standpoint, and that does work. But also, here's what I want you to hear. Jesus says, I am the way of doing things. I am the way of living. So look to me. So when we spend time in God's word, and we see how Jesus lived his life and how he interacted with people. I am the way. That's how we live. I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He is God. There is no truth apart from Christ. He doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't talk about the truth. He is truth. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered death. He rose from the dead. And that's why we have life in him. So I want to start off with, because of the conversation and the things you're going to hear from Paul, he only has this story because of that reality. Secondly, here at Real Life Ministries, years ago, 24 years ago, God gave those who started and prayed and gave this church a mission. And our mission is that we exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. Did I say mission and vision? Thank you, brother. It's called teamwork. So the vision is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. I remember the first time I heard it, I was sitting in the back on the corner, and I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And here's why I thought that. There's over 5 billion people live in the world. How is this little church, or this big church, gonna reach that many people? And then I remember Jim saying, that's our vision. Our mission is to create biblical disciples in a relational environment. I'm like, huh, that might work. We have a process. This is how it works. And because Jesus shared who he was with people, so he shared who he was. We share who Jesus is with people as we walk our life with Jesus. He shared, he connected. He connected people in a relationship with himself and with other people. We were made for relationship. You're gonna hear a lot of this from Paul, that we're made for relationship. Share, connect. Then he trained his guys to minister. He actually had them doing the things he was doing. He was equipping them because a time came when he left the earth and he left his guys behind and he released them to be disciple makers. Share, connect, minister, disciple. That is the rhythm for us here at Real Life. And many of you understand that, and many of you are in process that might not know, but that's why we talk about this like this. So that's our vision, that's our mission, our process. And one last thing is we have a definition for a disciple. Because if we're gonna make disciples of Jesus, we might wanna agree if we're gonna be unified. And in your notes, it talks about unity. And so we say this from Matthew 4:19. Our definition of a disciple, our definition is in the invitation. I always look at it this way. Jesus is constantly inviting us into things. Some of the things I'm a little hesitant, I go anyway. But he invited Peter. He goes, come follow me, Matthew 4:19. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So a disciple is one who's committed to following Jesus. You heard me say that to Fred and Ricky both. One who's committed to following Jesus. One who's committed to being changed by Jesus. That's called transformation. We become more and more like Jesus as we follow him in a relationship with Jesus and other people. And we're committed to his mission. Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. We're disciple makers. We live a lifestyle of discipleship like we see that Jesus modeled in scripture. And we live it imperfectly. We all have our days. I was telling the group over here, I had my day yesterday, maybe a little bit this morning. But we have our days, and thank God for his mercy and his grace. And I have people in my life that help me navigate those days. So I want to share a couple scriptures with you. If you do have your notes at the very top, this scripture is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So when you hear that, you'll be witnesses, and you and I, you will be witnesses. We will be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem or right here. This is our Jerusalem, where we live. Jerusalem, Judea, that's regionally. So as we make disciples, as we're in relationship, discipleship, the word of God spreads. So we have disciples in Judea, Samaria, nationally, the ends of the earth, and we'd say internationally. And this is where Paul and the international discipleship team come in, is internationally. And so I want to share one last thing with you, and I'm going to introduce Paul to you, and then we're going to start to have a discussion. So in John 17, I'm going to read this passage to you, but I want to put a little bit of context to this. Jesus is just getting ready to go to the cross. And when I say this, I'm not trying to be flippant or funny, but I want you to hear this. I have to believe he had a lot on his mind. He knows what's coming. He knows it's going to be involved up to a point. And he knows it's going to take everything. But he's praying for his disciples. And when he gets done praying for his disciples, then he prays this. And I want you to hear this. He's praying for you and me. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for those who will ever believe in me through their message. That would be us. Now he's praying for you and I. So this prayer that the Lord Jesus is having before the Father, before he goes to the cross, this is what he's praying for you. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus' prayer was for you and I to live in such a way that the world would know that Jesus was sent by God. And it's going to be unified. And unity and living that way is difficult. If you've been married for more than 2 weeks, you know it, or if you have kids, or you work with people, or you have a close friend you spend time with, it's a choice to be unified. It's a decision that a disciple makes. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I will concede, I will yield, and when I blow it, I will own it, and I'll ask forgiveness. And we practice this thing, and the only way it can be practiced is in relationship. The only way we can learn to walk like Jesus is in relationship. And so, Jesus said one last thing in Matthew 28. He's talking to his disciples, and he had already died, he resurrected, and he's just getting ready to leave, and he said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. He sent his guys out to make disciples of Jesus. And he didn't give really good instructions, did he? He said, go and make disciples. That was it. How would they know how to do that? Well, they spent three and a half years with Jesus Christ. And they knew when he said that what it meant. And they began to live that out. I'm going to say it again, imperfectly. That's why we have a story. That's why you're going to get to hear what's going on in international discipleship here at Real Life, how God's using our church, how God's using Paul and Dave and Janelle and all the different people involved. So with that being said, I want to introduce Paul Burns to you. Paul is one of my dearest, closest friends. We got to meet. I'd known who you were. I'd seen you. I always laughed every time you got up and talked because you only said like one or two words and that was it. And it hasn't changed. Not much. You're not on. You got to turn the switch on. Is he live? Well, anyway, he's doing that. So we went to Uganda. Technical difficulties, help, please.
Is that better?
There we go. So we went to Uganda together, and it was my son, Ben, 15, you and me. And so that's the first time we ever met. And by the time we even made it out of the States, I knew that you and I would be close friends for a long, long time. And so what I want you to know about Paul, and then I'm going to hand this over to him. Paul, you're a business owner. How long did you own your business?
21 years.
21 years. And I said this when we talked about this in Spirit Lake this morning. Did you leave your business because it was going bad and you needed to find something else, so you thought maybe you'd work at a church?
I wish. That would have made way more sense.
Actually, your business is thriving and growing exponentially.
Yes.
And you and Stephanie made a decision to sell your business, and you chose to go into what we would call full-time ministry, where that's how you make a living, for the purpose of equipping the saints and equipping other people to be disciple makers full-time.
Yeah. I didn't put it into words like that.
Yeah, but that's how I saw it, and I think that's exactly right. It gets better, you guys. But before that, you had some plans. You sold your home.
Yeah.
You sold your big, big home, and he bought a big, big fifth-wheel trailer, and you lived in that for 4 years.
Yeah. It wasn't that big.
It wasn't that big. No. So what? Share with you, what compelled you? And I don't think you look at it like you left things behind, but you made a major shift. You and your family made a major shift to follow Jesus in this way. Doesn't mean you're not following Jesus if you're working. Don't hear that, please. But you chose to go this direction in international disciple-making and equipping people in the church.
Yeah. I mean, relationship, being discipled in relationship changed my life for sure. And then when I met a pastor in Uganda that, like, he really changed my life. And it was through our relationship together. And so it wasn't really a choice of, you know, leaving one thing behind.
So before you came on staff, and a year ago today, where do you think we were?
Probably Colorado.
Colorado or Utah, yeah. Paul and I did a 3,500-mile motorcycle trip, so we were all over the western part of the United States. And you knew that when you got back, it was your first day at work here.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. I knew I had to go back to work too. So anyway, so in this year, in this whole year's time, as you navigate these things, what is it for you that wakes you up every morning? And because there are days, like anything, and you get up every morning knowing what you're going to do. What is the motivator? What's the energy or what drives you to live this lifestyle?
I wasn't ready for that. You're kind of going off script.
Well, I don't have a script. Never have. Never had a script.
I love people. I really do. Sometimes it's harder than others, but I really do love people. I love the people that I work with. You know, I love Dave Campbell. He's been an amazing mentor for me, and just a great friend. And all the people that we get to work with internationally, I mean, they're so hungry for relationship, yep. And they just don't know, and they need to.
Yeah. So when Real Life hired you and you came on full time, what was your training? What was required of you to work on staff as a pastor and as a equipper of disciples in other countries?
We had to do it. Like I had to, this was something that I had to live out. And I know you're going to say, what's it? Because you did that last time. It is, you know, living out relational discipleship. You know, yep. Being in relationship with people, being intentional, discipling them in that relationship, being in a home group.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this morning. When we talk about relationship all the time, we're in relationship because that's how God designed us and made us. He made us for a relationship. One of the most painful, difficult things people can be in is a what? It's a relationship. One of the greatest things a person can be in is a relationship. And so what you're helping internationally, what you're helping pastors do is to navigate that relationship and live it out in such a way that the world would know that they're disciples of Jesus because how they love each other.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so... And you've had the fortunate experience of over the years, people investing in your life, you and Stephanie, bearing with you, because there have been times when you've been unbearable, just like me. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, trust me. And and so, but as we continue with each other, what's produced from that is men and women who have a heart for God and a vision and a mission to be disciples and make disciples. So why don't you share with us some of the, we're going to see some different videos and some stuff like that.
Yeah. I got to collect my thoughts here a little bit. I left my notes at home. So I'm where it really starts out for us is we come across pastors that are seeking something. Sometimes most of the time they're not even sure what that is. They've tried all these different things in their churches. Maybe their churches are shrinking. Maybe their churches just have no depth. whatever. They know that there's something missing. They just don't know what it is. And sometimes it's through a training that we do where we just kind of talk about relational discipleship and they realize this sounds exactly like what we need. And we get a chance to connect with them. So I want to show you a video really quick. This is Ame from Burundi. It's Dave Lovell from Australia, and it's Richard Aiken from New Zealand. And these guys are just kind of talking about what they were looking for.
In Africa, we have the church who is large in number, but not deep. So that was our burden, how the church can be founded in discipleship. So we tried many tools how to disciple people, but we come to know real life ministries and we found the pathway of discipleship and especially how the discipleship has to be relational and biblical. So that was amazing. It was a good news for us.
When did I first come to contact with RLM? It all began for me back in 2014 when I was wrestling with what it might look like for us to be and make disciples here at Bendigo Baptist Church in Victoria, Australia. Well, it was in the course of that middle of 2014 that I discovered the book Disciple Shift, written by Jim and Bobby, and the shifts that it was suggesting that a church needed to make to grow a disciple-making culture really resonated with me at that point in time.
My first point of connection with Real Life Ministries was through finding Jim's book, Church as a Team Sport. And it's a pretty well-known story around the traps now, but essentially I walked into our local church bookstore, bumped into the clearance table, and that book fell off. And I picked it up to put it back, but read the title and thought, oh, sounds interesting. So I took it with me and it sat on the back seat of my car for a couple of days, and then I picked it up and read it again and thought, gee, this just makes sense.
So if there's one thing I'd really like for you to get out of the video, it's the fact that Jim's book was on a clearance table. Anyways, so you kind of hear these guys, they were just kind of stuck, not sure why. And sometimes we come across them, sometimes they contact us. And then we'll either bring them here or we'll sometimes go to their country or bring them to another country with us. And that's when we get to actually help them experience it a little bit. And we got another video with Tatao and Ame. Tatao is out of Fiji. Ame, again, is out of Burundi.
Was there, like, anything in particular that stood out to you through that training? Do you remember?
Yes. How, especially when I see the team that came over, they never not only did biblical discipleship, but we look through their lives and we experience that through their lives as well.
Mm-hmm. So we get visitors, coach from Real Life Ministries in US, and they come in Burundi, and we spend time, good time with them. They know how to talk with people, how to live with people. They live in the house of us. So that means they are not distant for us. They want to be with us. Even though they don't talk too much, but their heart was talking too much.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That video is great because Ame kind of sums it up at the end. It's not so much what we have to train or teach. It's what we have to model, right? So over there in Burundi, the language barrier is a little bit hard for us. And the couple that we have that works with the church in Burundi, they're quiet, they're humble, they're an amazing couple. But it's not about what they talk about, you know. It's about their hearts. And they catch it, right? So for me, that's just amazing.
So real quick, one of the things, as I'm listening, they said we send coaches from the U.S. Where do these coaches come from? What are they even talking about, coaches?
Yeah, so on our team, we have volunteers that are coaching couples, and they're people that are living it out here at home. By living it, I mean that they're in relationship with people. They're in home group. They've led a home group or are leading a home group. And we can't go over and show them how to do something that we've never done.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
that's...
How many, just for fun, you said it and I forgot that from this morning. How many coaching couples do we have that minister overseas, whether it be in Africa or Mexico or Central America?
So I would say actual coaching couples right now, we probably are around 10 or 12. Is that about right, Dave? Yeah.
Like 18 or 20.
18 or 20-ish.
Yeah.
So right in there. And we have coaches that are in training as well right now that are just starting to connect with some pastors. So, yeah.
Very cool. So what I'm hearing in that is the coaches and their couples. And one of the things in that is they're coaching a pastor and his wife, so it's couples with couples.
Absolutely.
Why is that important over there or anywhere else, I guess?
Yeah, well, because as you know, if your home life is bad, if your marriage is off, your church will be off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have a healthy pastor, you need to pastor their wives as well.
Yeah.
Then it makes the most sense. And I know for me personally, when I go overseas, if I don't have my wife there with me, then I miss an awful lot of stuff because she's strong where I'm weak, and yeah, she catches things that I would never catch.
And I didn't ask you this question today. I just thought of it as I'm listening to you. What's it like, you know, and I'm thinking of Africa or anywhere, I guess, does it bring a sense of value and appreciation to the pastor's wives? Are they surprised that you would invest in them? Or because sometimes it's just always about the pastor.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously depends on the culture that we go
sure
into. But yeah, I mean, you know, I asked Ronald one time, how often, you know, do you come home at the end of the day and ask your wife, like, how her day was and just let her talk about it? And he said, why would I do that? So it's not that they don't want to have a good relationship. They just don't even know. They don't even know the mm-hmm where to start.
That's good.
So do I keep going?
Yep.
All right. So so anyways, now they've kind of got to experience it, and they realize, like, man, this is what we want. And so we team up a key pastor and his wife with a coaching couple, and they start walking this out with them, right? This is what we would call the live it stage, where they're actually living and doing life with them, not necessarily in country. You know, maybe go there once or twice a year for a few weeks at a time, but, you know, staying in constant communication with them, starting to show them what transparency and vulnerability looks like within a relationship. And we have a video of that with Peter and Tatao. Peter is also from Burundi.
I have a coach. His name is Mike and Loretta. They are a good man. They trained me, and I learned many things from them because they have a deep love. They know how to train the people. They know how to share with others. And I spent many times in their home. And when they came to Burundi also, they stay in my home. And we continue to build our relationship. They are a model. They are a model for my life, for our pastors.
How deep is our relationship?
It grew deeper and deeper every day. And you not only see that in our coach, but they live it out through their lives. As we have seen that they have impacted not only our lives, not only our churches, but also the community that are surrounding our area as well. So we have seen that through their lives, and they have really, really engaged themselves in and building up relationship all throughout wherever they are. So they are well known now, wherever we are pastoring, and also to the churches that we pastor, of their way of life. So they lived discipleship relationship all throughout their lives. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I hope what you guys see there is, or what you don't see, is they don't talk about how great the training is. They don't talk about how good the teachers are. They talk about, like Tatao said there, it's their way of life. That's how we make impact on people, you know? When it's just in us, we love people, it's genuine, we care, right? We're intentional. I mean, it's not just about loving and caring for people, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's also an intentionality piece there where we have to, you know, we're leading them towards spiritual maturity.
And so if we're leading them towards spiritual maturity, how would you define that? So, because that can mean different things to different people. So spiritual maturity.
Absolutely. Spiritual maturity is kind of summed up in saying Christ-like. And when you ask, like, well, what was Christ like? Start to lay out his characteristics, and there you'll see spiritual maturity, right?
Yeah. And they're getting to see this. And I'm watching Dave up there, and they're talking about Dave and Tina in Fiji. And they're known all over because of their way of life. I love what you said.
Yeah.
They're not known because Dave's a great preacher. I'm not saying he is a good preacher, because they have great teaching. It's how they live and interact and love the people that God's entrusted them with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. From this stage, as now that we've got to spend a lot of time with them, and sometimes this takes a few years, just getting into good, deep relationship with them because they've never experienced it. So they're a little bit hesitant at first. So sometimes you have to force it. I'm just kidding. We don't force it. Anyways, from that stage, though, then we start to help them lead this out in their church. Because what we really want is we want to see their church become a relational discipleship church, right? And so we start to help them develop a core team around them that they can start pouring into and having deep relationship with, and then, you know, we want it to keep coming down into the church. Dave Lovell has a great clip here about that.
And 2 years ago, we realized that the end goal was not small groups, but it was growing people towards spiritual maturity. And it was the realization that there's a whole number of relational environments, vehicles that we've learned that actually help us to move people in that direction. And I think that's going to be a real key thing for our church as we move into 2021 and into the future, is helping people as they endeavor to be and make disciples, realizing that there's a variety of vehicles that will help grow people towards spiritual maturity in Christ. And the other thing I think I want to just say that's been a real key for us has been the international discipleship team and just the leadership of Dave. His input into my life and into the life of our staff team over the last 5 years has been incredible. And you only know what you know. There's been many times when I've called and said, hey, Dave, hey, I'm stuck. I'm not quite sure what to do next. Any thoughts around this? And as we've dialogued every 2 or 3 weeks together, that has been such a valuable input into my life that I cherish so deeply, and I'm so grateful to RLM for.
Totally forgot what I was going to say.
We're talking about coaching. He's talking about how amazing, what amazing coach
Dave is.
The relationship going on.
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the other things, that's awesome.
He said more.
This is only my third time doing this, so. But Keith changed it up, threw me off.
It could be my last. Oh, that's funny.
No, actually, one of the things that Dave Lovell touched on there that I would like to expand a little bit more. He was talking about vehicles. What he's talking about there is relational environments. And something that he says at the beginning of that part is that they found out it's not just about small groups, right? Small groups are great, but that's not it. You know, we have multiple vehicles. We have the church, which is, it's a relational environment. Maybe you don't get super deep with people in the church, but you make good contacts. You know, you're being discipled from the stage, usually even when Jim speaks. Then we also have,
oh my God,
you know, from the church, we even go into other environments, you know, maybe like men's breakfast, ladies' night out, ministry, things like that. Then we get into small groups, which is it's a great place for relationship, and it's a great place for spiritual maturity to grow. Then from there, we drop down into groups that are even a little bit smaller. You know, maybe you and a couple guys or you and a couple gals at a coffee shop. You know, as long as there's someone there being intentional and intentionally leading you to make sure that there's spiritual growth. And then there's also the one-on-one. So those are the vehicles that Dave was talking about.
You know, as I'm listening to Dave talk about calling Dave, and so some of the things would there be a struggle for a senior pastor, whether it's Australia, Uganda, wherever, in relationship, what are some of the stopping points for a pastor who's been trained, they've gone to Bible school, they know their theology, they have their doctrine, they know all the processes, but now we're talking about being in daily relationship, showing a person how to love and be loved. What are some of the obstacles for them that they would call and ask for help with?
Well, part of it is getting somebody else to open up to them. Mm-hmm. You know, in a culture that's not a common thing. You know, they don't have any experience with it other than what they went through with you. So, you know, that's a tough one. They run into all the same problems that we do, Keith.
Yeah.
They really do.
But it is a risk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of like here, to open up to people and to be known, there is a risk for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So then, as these guys start to lead it out in the church, you know, we want to help them from there start to reproduce this. Our goal isn't to go into every church in every country. Our goal is to just get into a church and then have that church start to spread it within their own country, because they're going to be better at that than we are. So as it starts to flow through their church, they'll start planting churches with this DNA, this relational discipleship DNA. But then also usually a lot of the other pastors in the community start noticing that there's something different about that church. One of the things with Africa is churches, you know, may have, well, even Ronald's church, you know, when I first met him, had about 300 people. And then in the first year, they had like 100 and some baptisms. But at the end of the year, they had like 300 people. So people just moved around from church to church. So it wasn't until his church really started to grow and other pastors really starting to take notice and wondering like, hey, what is it that you're doing different?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, so the 300, now it's growing past 300.
Yes.
And so the sticky factor would be the relationships. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are actually feeling valued, part of, included, and they're being used, not inappropriately, but actually being used to advance the kingdom of God. And
absolutely.
And they have a part of the church.
Yeah. That's good. So this is Ronald from Uganda and Peter again from Burundi talking about the reproducing and multiplying part.
I started to train our churches and to start the small home group in our congregation. Also, I had the opportunity to train other pastors in the denomination. I trained many pastors from Burundi, DRC, Rwanda, Uganda, South Sudan, and Kenya. I was very, very interested by this ministry. This lesson, how to make disciples with the relationship, how to help the church to grow, to become mature. Thank you very much.
Relationship with the pastors. And one thing I've noticed is they have not just sat on this information that we share as far as biblical relationship is concerned, discipleship is concerned. They have actually also gone back home to their churches and done the same thing, working with their branch satellite churches. So it is something that when I went to Burundi, I brought back Fort Portal, and the Fort Portal church pastors have also taken back to other church pastors in their regions. So it has really greatly multiplied over and over and over and over again.
So really quick with Peter there in Burundi, I see we're running out of time a little bit, so I'll make it quick. But Peter, when he came, he broke down and just sobbed when he realized that this was, you know, like, man, that's what he was missing, was the relationship, or you know, relational discipleship. He was missing that. As he has, that was, I don't know, eight or nine years ago probably now. And as he has started doing this, living it out in his own life, and then it starting to filter down through his churches, he oversees a little over 300 churches in 10 different countries. And obviously he can't disciple all of them by himself. And so he has just set up, you know, his core team. And then from his core team, each one of those guys has a core team. And then each one of those guys has a core team. And, you know, almost like how Jesus set his model up. It's really close to that. So anyways, with Peter, Mike and Loretta Gutterud that work with him, I mean, you know, if you met them, they're not the type of people that would oversee hundreds of churches. But they do actually influence the guy that does.
So indirectly, they're influencing hundreds of churches, and that would mean how many people? You go 10 countries, 300 churches and growing.
Yeah.
And so Mike and Loretta, amazing people, but they're people nonetheless, just like any other people. Yeah. And so one thing, you know, I don't know if Mike and Loretta are here, but here's what I do know. They made a decision that they're going to follow Jesus and do what he said.
Yeah.
And the fruit of that is just what you got done talking about.
Yeah.
And one thing we were talking about this afternoon after lunch is if you're going to get a point across, you would want people to know. Remember you were talking about that?
I do. Do you want me to tell them?
Yeah.
All right. Something that I would really like for everybody to take away from here is, you know, because I sat out there for a long time and never thought that, you know, that that wasn't me. I never, ever thought they would ever give me a mic. And I probably wouldn't have done it if I knew that. But the point is that you guys, if you get into relationship, if you're willing to work through this stuff with people and disciple, be discipled and to disciple others, I'm telling you, it really does change the world. And anybody can do this.
So when you say anybody can do this, anybody who's, it's like when we did that baptism, anybody who's willing to follow,
yep.
Anyone who's willing to be changed and follow Jesus that way, anyone who's willing to commit their life to the mission, yep. Regardless what it takes. And I've seen this both in your life and mine, God compensates for the lack.
Yep.
There's plenty of that over here. And so that's why I say we walked this out imperfectly. So one last thing, Paul, before we start to wind up. How can people get in the game? How can they help? How could they be part of our church? When I say people, yep. Your real life ministry, is there a place for them to play on your team and Dave's team of international relational discipleship?
Absolutely. There's a couple different things. One, you could come to our rally. It's the first Sunday of every month at 11:30 in Building 2 over here. And you can come, even if you don't want to be part of the team, you just want to see what we're doing from month to month, we would love to have you. The other thing that we're doing is we were raising money this weekend for church planters down in Mexico, these 30 church planters that are going to go through a two-month, I don't want to call it a training, but it kind of is, but they're going to all live together, an intensive relational training. Dave's going to be down there running that so that they can plant their churches with this DNA, right? Anyways, the total cost of that was a little over $68,000. Their churches over there are going to cover half of it, and we were going to cover the other. And so we were going to try to raise money for that. And we had service on Thursday, and by Friday that was covered.
So, isn't that awesome?
It's just, I can't tell you how proud I am of this church and how willing people are to give and their hearts. The other thing is, in January, February, we're going to be running four Serve and Encourage trips that are open to anybody that's a member here. We need carpenters, painters, general laborers, people that know how to run a coffee stand, because a lot of these pastors are going to have their bivocational. They're not just going to be paid by the church there. So those will be like 4 days long. You know, they'll start on a Friday, end on a Monday. And so you don't have to take a ton of time off work, but it'd be a real big encouragement to these people to, if you could do that. And so if you would like to do that, out the doors to the left, there's a kiosk there and you can sign up and we'll send you more information when we have it.
One last thing, you said something, I loved it. You said this, you used to sit out there and you're looking up here and you didn't think there'd be a place for you in ministry. Super smart, because I think I've always told you that. Super smart, capable, business owner, hard worker, creative, all these things, but where's
the... Man, keep going.
I got a lot more where that came from, but we're running out of time. But there wasn't a place for me in ministry. I can do all these things. But what I'm hearing you say is there's a place, and if there's something missing, I'm going to make an assumption. I think I'm right in this. You guys spend time in a relationship training the people on your team so they are, I want you to hear this, they're competent in what they're doing.
Absolutely. We have a great team, and and we invest a ton of time with everybody on the team. And Dave, I'm telling you, he's an amazing guy and has a heart of gold and just, we put a lot of time in, for sure.
You said, and this last thing, you said this morning, we work slow. So that training is slow. Relationship is slow. It's arduous. It plods along. It seems like nothing's getting done. But we work slow to
go fast.
To go fast. Because when we're aligned, we're relational, we can anticipate each other. Like you and I can get a lot of stuff done because we spend a lot of time together and we know and we can anticipate things, but it took time and relationship. Well, guys, give Paul a round of applause. And I want to finish with this. You guys come on up. And so what's your next step? What's your next step? I'll give you a couple thoughts here. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is not your Lord and your Savior, and I'm not talking about knowing about him. A lot of people know about Jesus. I'm talking about knowing your God. And you've not surrendered your life to him tonight. There's going to be people that are going to come forward and they're going to be standing up here and they're going to pray with you if you want. You can find one of us pastors. I would love to pray with you, talk to you, listen to you, not just tell you a bunch of stuff. Maybe there's some sitting out there like Paul and they're thinking, there's no way. I couldn't do any of that. I'm going to offer you a word. It's a wonderful word. It's called repentance. You need to repent and go, Lord, I need to start thinking like you do. I will do whatever you say, even if I don't feel like I can do it. I'm going to trust you with that because God not just wants to use you. He wants you part of his kingdom. You're his child. He redeemed you and saved you for a purpose. And that is to reach the whole world for Jesus one person at a time. And you're needed and you have a place. And so I want to end on this. We can only have this conversation because the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He set us up to win. He's redeemed us. He's given us his very life. We have his promised Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing his salvation till the day of redemption. The Spirit of God lives in us as we surrender to Jesus. And he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Even when it doesn't feel like it, because sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but we're going to trust God and we're going to do this together. And Jesus said this, a new command, I'm going to finish with this, a new command I give you as I have loved you. He's saying this to his disciples. As I have loved you, so love one another. By this, the world will know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. And I believe this. If this group right here, if we chose to love each other, if we're patient and kind, if we weren't rude, we weren't easily angered, we weren't selfish, we'd bear with each other, we would be faithful, we would endure, we'd never give up. Who wouldn't want to be part of this group? We would be absolutely attractive and people would want to be part of this group because they know they'd be taken care of, they'd be loved, and they'd be part of something wonderful. That's the family of God. So Father, we love you. Will you give us the courage, the faith to trust you and to love you and have your way with us? You're the only thing good. We love you. Father, have mercy on us. We praise you. I thank you for what you're doing all around the world, that you're using ordinary people. And that's all of us here. We submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.